So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness, your compassion, your tender mercies. We are in awe that even through struggle and pain, you find a way to meet us. Thank you for meeting us today. Some of us in this room are in adversity, difficult circumstances. Be Lord, be God, be King. Some of us are rejoicing, living our best life. And I thank you, Lord, for those seasons of just rain and plenty and overwhelming favor and blessing and right positioning and timing. I thank you, Lord, for being the God of both realities. We give you honor, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to remind us of a few things right before I'm going to, of course, have a conversation with you all today. We are concluding our 21-day fast today. And I don't know about you, if you could spend the time and testify about what you've learned, about what has happened in this 21 days. I think this has been one of the most pivotal fasts. But we are grateful that God is speaking, that he is moving. Some people will say, not the way I wanted him to, though. But he is moving, and today, after service, you are free to eat. If you want to continue in the fast, you can do that. But we are grateful to God for what he has done for this church, for this community. Clarity, realignment. God has been good to us. Also, after service today, some of our newer family members have asked about Pastor Wayne and myself and our books. We have them in the foyer, so we have written books, and we have them for sale if you want to get one. If you're new, some people have approached me, so we brought those. Don't forget about Wednesday night. We still are having the Bible study at 327 Pine at 7 p.m. Wednesday night. Jazz and Jokes is happening. If you are couples, if you're not couples, if you love jazz music, you love great food, on February 17th, it's going to be right after Valentine's Day, a great way to just vibe and have some, just a great atmosphere with like-minded people. We have a jazz band, special guest host, and just a really rich time. We do it at Antioch every year, and it's happening downtown Long Beach. You can sign up or see Mary in the foyer today after service if you want more information. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram. It's not like this, we're going to harass you or look at all your pictures, because we know how y'all really live. Okay? We're not going to follow you back and judge you. But it's a great way to stay connected in real time with what is happening at the church. So follow us on Instagram. We won't follow you back and judge you. You can continue living your best life. But we want to make sure you have the information you need. So if you're just joining us here at Antioch, over the past few weeks, we've been in the middle of a series called Toward, where we feel it's important to move toward those who are difficult and damaged, and those who are different from us. In fact, it's the goal of our entire church community as a body to make sure we are reaching out to people that are different. Anybody in this room feel different? Right? How many of you have felt like in life you've been damaged in some ways? This is for us. I know you're some difficult people here. I know you're here. So let's see, how many difficult people are in the room? Oh, wow, you're honest. What great self-awareness. It just means that we all have struggled in some ways with some of these things. And God is opening our eyes and showing us how we can be more attentive to these people we interact with each and every day. If we walk through the New Testament, we find many accounts of Jesus moving toward people. I mean, now that we've talked about it, you're going to see it even more, kind of like when you get a new car, you see that car everywhere. We will see just how Jesus made the movement toward other people. He didn't just stay around religious people. In fact, they kind of annoyed him in a lot of ways, the super religious. He was around lepers and sick people and poor people. He was with the dead, the faithless. He spent time speaking to the broken and the adulterer and Jesus was that kind of guy. His squad was full of people that were damaged and difficult at some point. He encountered people that were possessed by demons. I mean, Jesus was one that we can really learn from. And if you look at his life, that's the blueprint for how we engage. I know what some people are thinking. Matter of fact, just stretch your hands this way. Just stretch your hands this way. Say, Lord, help me to do what I don't think I can do. In Jesus' name. You think it's too hard. This is impossible. How am I going to deal with difficult people? How am I going to deal with difficult circumstances and situations? Pastor Wayne has laid the groundwork phenomenally with putting on the lenses of compassion and how we engage. And I just kind of want to add to this conversation by zeroing in on a couple areas of importance to me. What stands out to me? We need to recalibrate our internal world. Can you say that? Recalibrate. My internal world. There's so much that takes place on the inside of us. You could repeat that too. There's so much that takes place. We have our own bias. We have our own feelings, our hurts, our frustrations. We come in this room with so much emotion, fears, distrust. So when someone tells us we need to go talk to that person that offended us, we go, uh-uh. We have certain behaviors that are influenced by this internal world. So it's almost impossible for us to talk about the external without dealing with the internal. We need to acknowledge our feelings, explore, and you're going to say, it's all about feelings. Yes, it is today. But we need to explore our fears, our natural inclination, and to be more self-aware of the junk that we carry on the inside of us. What I love about Jesus is he asks a lot of questions. We need to ask, what's going on inside of me? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? What's making me uncomfortable? What's happening on the inside? Not just what's happening on the outside. Every time I'm around this person, I get annoyed. I get frustrated. We need to know that. How many of you actually pay attention to what's going on inside of you? It's far easier to make it about the other person and what they're not doing and how they have wronged you. But what is your experience with that person? What's actually coming up for you? And how much time have we given to some of those kinds of things? See, we often talk about cutting people off and moving on, and I'm going to the next thing and I'm about to do me. And we have this pervasive idea that I'm about to get mine in life and I don't need to be around anybody with negative energy. But what good is it if you cut everybody off but you're thinking about them all day? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. We got the block feature, so we think we're really doing something. Oh, I'm going to block this person. You don't have access to my life. But you're rehearsing what they did over and over again in your brain. The internal world actually matters more than you think it does. These people, these circumstances, they bombard your thought life. Oh, I'm good. You put it in a box and you just buried it and suppressed it and you put some dirt over it and you built a house and you thought your life was so much better. And the moment that you encounter somebody new, it triggers that response and that reaction you had 5 years ago. So until we actually recalibrate that internal world, we are still prisoners to this idea that we can have this free life and we can just live our best life without difficult people. Here is the moral of the story. There is no way around difficult people. There is no way around different people, and there is absolutely no way around damaged people. We are damaged. We are difficult. We have been through things, and we encounter people that are similar to us. Here's the goal. Do your work. The healthier you are, the better you process through your situations and circumstances, the better prepared you are to deal with people when they come in the future. If you resolve that someone can't be in your life, then allow them to make a comprehensive exit. Don't just say pack your bags and go. It's like, you need to get your emotional clothes out of the closet too. And it just, I just wonder. We give people this relational pass and we go, you know what? I'm good. I just would prefer a life without you. It's been so much of a headache with this boss, in this job, in this situation, in this relationship, in this family. You can go down the list. It's been just so tough. I'm just better. How many of you think that? I'm just better without them. Be honest. We all got the bodies somewhere stored up in our house of everybody we've cut off. But we don't realize by not encountering and not dealing with people, we give them a relational pass. We tell them it is okay for you to be you and live your life. And I'm going to take that gift you just gave me and I'm going to go on with mine. For example, I'm the kind of person that I didn't like confrontation a lot. And I remember going to the kids' school one day and this lady, I was dropping Cadence off and it was her birthday. And I was bringing cupcakes for her. So I had to sit the cupcakes in the classroom. So I guess this was like superintendent such and such or somebody. And she walked in the classroom and she says, oh, you need to drop her off outside. And we just don't want parents in the classroom. And there were two other parents in the classroom at the same time. And I was just trying to put the cupcakes on the table so I can go. But she was correcting me. And I let her correct me and I let her and I said, okay. And I let her leave. And that just tortured me for the rest of the day. I was like, no, she didn't. Why did she come in there and talk to me when she could have talked to somebody else? Why did she have to say it to me? I should go and tell her. And I just was going back and forth all day. This woman just went with me to work, and she went with me to the grocery store. And she was all in my Instagram. And I was just saying, you know what? Why did she try me like that? And I just felt such like a sucker. And it really bothered me. But she just gave me a gift, and I took the box, and I just went home with it. Instead of going, you know, can you put that in the next bulletin that parents aren't supposed to be in the classroom? I really wasn't aware of that. It wasn't in the handbook. But I will remember that. That's a great principle. But I just wanted the room to be like, you know what? You can take the gift back, and we can continue in building a relationship. Instead, I took her package and took it home with me and unpacked it at my house. And then the next time I saw her, you know, I was looking at her like, what? What you got? Because I carried that package with me. Externally, she wasn't in my presence. Externally, I don't even know her name. She wasn't even a part of my life. But internally, whatever was triggered inside of me was with me. Am I a punk? Do I just let people talk to me any kind of way? I just was having all of these things going on. Sometimes we got to let people know, hold on. There's something about what just happened that's not feeling good on the inside. Let's figure this out so we can continue in relationship. In this generation, I know it's hard. We don't want to work for anything. We want everything to be good and everything to be peaceful, but that is not reality. And what makes this process so difficult to move toward anybody is the fact that we're carrying so many bodies with us. People that wounded us, the people that weren't there for us, all of our situations and circumstances with difficult people, with damaged people, with broken people, we've carried them with us. And so now we get the courage to say, I don't want that anymore. And God is telling us to do something countercultural. Go against what you feel. Go against what you think. And I want you to reach the people that I've called you to. Here's the scenario. You're in a connect group. And one of the people in the group asks you to go with her to an event. And you say, yeah, you're excited by the invitation. So you volunteered to get the tickets. You said, I'll get the tickets. Just pay me back. I'm going to send my Cash App. Give me the money for your ticket and we'll be good. Time goes by, she said, no problem. You made sure your handle was correct, and you went to the event. The event was great. You had a lovely time. But you check your Cash App. And you didn't get your reimbursement for that ticket. So what's happening? You feeling some type of way, right? Well, she hasn't sent the money. It's Sunday, and it's time to go back to the Connect group. What feelings do you have? Just shout them out. Just shout them out. Huh? Pay me? What other feelings do you have? Awkward? Who else? Angry? Resentful? Used? She said get ready for a confrontation because it's coming. What else? How do we feel? Perplexed. Like, really? Like, and the ticket was $15. Okay, Veronica says she could have forgotten. Okay, so some of us feel taken advantage of, upset, irritated, hurt. We feel distrustful. We feel like, what's going on? This doesn't make sense. So what do we do? You tell me. What will we do? She gonna ask, where's her money at? Are you gonna do it like that? Where my money at? You gonna do like, where, run me my money. You know, like this? They said hey, that's all they want to hear, all 2019. So what do we do? We handle it before Sunday. How are you going to handle it? You're going to give her a call. What are you going to say? Remember? This is so good. She said, remember we went to the event and we sat next to each other. You remember all that? So what else? What are we going to do? What else are we going to do? He said he's going to send another Cash App request. What else are we going to do? Anything? Somebody said they're going to count it as a loss. It's a loss. So how do you feel about sitting in the Connect group with the girl who took your money and enjoyed the event and didn't pay you back? How are you going to feel studying the word? Okay, you can use scripture. You know what some of us really do? We sit on the other side of the church. Some of us decide we don't want to go anymore because they all hypocrites. Some of us not going to go back to the Connect group, right? We're going to go, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to go to the Connect group. We're going to inside cut her off. We're going to block her. We're not going to accept the Cash App anymore. We're going to change our handle and close the account. And we're just going to go, I'm going to close it off. That was my offering. We're going to take that 15 from our tithe. I'm like, all is fair. Right? We're going to tell other people about the situation. I need my prayer partner to agree with me. And we're going to tell somebody else what's really going on and how this person took this money and didn't give it back to us. What could we do, though? What's another alternative? Megan, I enjoyed our time together. And I was looking forward to developing a relationship with you. I must be honest. I didn't get the reimbursement, and I was feeling some type of way. What happened? What happened? Give her the space to go, you know what? I forgot. I closed my account. I just want to use you. Whatever she could say. And then now you get the opportunity to decide if you want to continue in a relationship with this person. And if you want to continue in the relationship with that person in that way, it doesn't mean she's done. It might mean we don't go to concerts anymore. Or I don't pay for tickets in advance anymore. But we can be friends. We can be fellow members of the body of Christ. We don't have to be best friends. But let's renegotiate the terms of our relationship because there's something that happened. I can address it. I can tell you in love. I can hear your opinion, your resolve, and then we can now move forward in relationship. That is normal. Difficult people don't have to be difficult. It all starts with us. Difficult people are allowed to be difficult. Circumstances are allowed to be difficult when we allow them to be. And she says, you know what, I'm sorry about that. Here's the money. We go, okay. Well, what are we doing next Saturday? And let's keep on building in our relationship. We take it with us. We take all of that hurt from that situation. We go to another church, and then we start acting brand new. We start saying, I don't give people money. I don't go to places with people in church because they don't pay back. And we create a rule and a vow that we live by because we did not deal with the stuff from the last person. Do an internal inventory of your own world. What is going on inside of me right now? How does it feel for me to be vulnerable in relationship? How does it feel? What comes up for me? You don't have to tell anybody, but it's good for you to know and be self-aware so that when people do come along and you have to engage things that are difficult, you don't feel overwhelmed. We need to spend more time trying to isolate what's happening on the inside and be willing to feel it for a second. What's going on with me? What's making me feel afraid? What do I need? Some of us get more difficult and damaged people in our lives than others. And those people have hurt us, and truth be told, they were flat out wrong for it. And we don't think they deserve to be loved. So when Pastor Wayne's preaching, put on the lenses of compassion. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do that for everybody, but... because we've determined that they don't deserve to be loved. They don't get a right to my presence because of how they've dealt with me. Especially after what they've done, we think that because time has gone on and we said we were hashtag over it, that we're actually over it. You know what else we can do? We can give ourselves the space to be human enough to go, you know what, I'm not ready yet to move toward this person. We take these absolutes. Every person, every time, always, or you get an F at being a good Christian. That's not what we're saying. As often as you can. And when you have the awareness of it, do it. I couldn't tell you that because you know what? I wouldn't live it. I wouldn't preach to you and tell you, every person you see, you better give them your all. You better give them, you know, the Bible talks about no greater friend that'll give his life. What is it? You know the scripture, Chuck. Give your life for a friend. We go to the absolute. We go to the great and the noble sacrifices. How about you just reduce this conversation to the lowest common denominator? Don't define love in determine whether somebody is worthy of the love you've conceptualized in your mind. Let's just start with basic human kindness. Let's go all the way to the bottom and go, God, as I live this life out, I'm broken and I want somebody to have grace for me. How can I show that? And you might lose it. You may not always get it right. Life is kind of like a puzzle. And this is how what governs and what helps me is that sometimes what I am meant to do will help and affect you. And then what you're meant to do helps and affects another person. And as long as these puzzle pieces fit somehow, some way, all of it works together for the good. Now, my piece may not fit your puzzle. And I'm okay with that. God would not make us all these robots that are all supposed to just carry out and be great and be wonderful to each and every person every single day of every year and make all the right choices at all the right times. But I do know that God is one of intentionality, that he will allow our paths to cross for a reason and allow my kindness to be met with you and then your kindness to be met with somebody else. So I'll tell you a story about my own life because I want to show you how we blow it. And we drop the ball. Because I want to take this whole message and package it and listen to it every day to remind myself. I got to keep moving toward the difficult, the damaged, the different. Now, I'm great with the damaged. I love broken people. The difficult, not so much. I check out. So I'll tell you a story. I wanted to take my kids to the donut shop. And I looked at the clock. And we had maybe 10 minutes to get to school. And you know you're at that moment where it's like, if I go, then we might be late. All right, let's just go. We're just going to go. We're going to go real quick. And I'm going to need you guys not to judge me, okay? Let me just tell you that. Don't judge me. So we go to the donut shop. All the parking spaces are full except for the 5 handicapped right in front. So I'm trying to be on time. I'm trying to be a good person, right? So I'm going to just pull in a handicap and run into the donut shop. No, I'm not handicapped. And no, I don't have the sticker. I just wanted to save time. So that's why I did it. I broke the law. Okay. So I pulled in front in the handicap space. And I had the 3 kids in the car. And I jumped out and went into the donut shop to get our order. And I was standing in line. And another lady pulled up next to me, did the same thing. So I felt better. So we're standing in line, waiting for our donuts. And a guy comes in. People out there parked in the handicapped space. And he's yelling in the donut shop, going off. And I'm going, yeah, it's me. I'm coming. You know, I'm going to move it, whatever. And he's going off. This is an older man. This is an older man. And he's going off. And he triggered me. I said, call the police. First of all, I'm embarrassed. It's a line full of people. And you got this man yelling in the small donut shop about who's breaking the law. So I said, well, call the police then. So I get my donuts. I'm running back to the car. He double parks me. And he's going around trying to open up the car doors to get in with my kids in the car. So I'm like, you better move your you better move right now. He took me there. I wasn't thinking about kindness. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. He took me all the way there. My kids at that point had never heard me curse in their life. And they were like, Mom. I was like, you better back up right now. You better back up. And he double parked me and the other lady and was like, I'm calling the police. And he was mad and walking around. And he was not handicapped. And no, he was not trying to find a parking space. He was being the police himself. And in that moment, the lady next to me had her sticker. So she pulled it out. She didn't have it on her window. She pulled it out and he drove off. I got in the car and I was done. Because I was like, oh my God, I just cussed this man out. I haven't done that in years. And I was just so like, oh man. And then I thought, oh, what about your witness? What about the Lord? And for 1 second, I thought, God, this is what life is like. You blow it sometimes. Yeah, I did. I took off my Christian Louboutins. Because that's the only thing Christian I had on, right? And I'm not encouraging you to break the law and park in the handicap and then go in. And all of that was flat out wrong. But I didn't also ask him to double park me and say he wasn't moving and try to get in my car and move it himself and all of that. Long story short, sometimes we're going to blow it. We're going to meet a person. We're going to meet a situation, and it's going to bring out the worst in us. And when I went, that was the longest car ride. That was the longest 5-minute car ride to school that we have ever had. And everybody was in silence and looking at each other. Well, what do we do after that? I do want you to know I have really not been to that donut shop since. I am terrified of the handicapped space. I have all kind of emotional issues because of that situation. But we're going to blow it. But the next day I had another opportunity to wake up and go, God, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry just because it wasn't right. But I'm also sorry because I saw a part of myself that I thought I was over. That, wow, I can get angry and like actually cuss somebody else. So don't try me, okay? I'm ready. But I learned to have compassion and grace for people that lose it on me. Because now I know what it's like to lose it on somebody else. Here's the most important part. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And you've been waiting for the scripture the whole time. I know you have. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How are we going to accomplish what God has asked us to do if we are unwilling to move toward the people that he wants us to reach? That the gospel is not spread to people who know him. That the gospel is preached by us being his vessel, carrying that to the people that he needs us to reach. Now, what do you think these people are going to look like? Are they all going to be happy and healthy and living well and kind and gracious? No, they're going to be damaged. And some of them will be really different. They'll look different. They'll have a different way of life. They'll have a different belief system. And you know what? And they might be difficult. So the next time you go about life and you want to insulate and isolate yourself around the people that vibe with you, that believe what you believe, that have the great outlook like you, that are all positive, remember, how well are you sharing your faith? How well are you expressing God's love to people who need it the most? That it is impossible for us to do his will and his work if we are unwilling to make the steps. And as long as we go, okay, here's what's coming up for me, I am afraid. I had a woman hit me up in Costco. She said, I talked to you already. I said, no. She said, you from Eritrea? No, you from Africa? No. I want to tell you about Islam. I said, no, I got Christ. I just like, no, I got Christ. And I kept walking, and she says, you know, you need to watch this video on YouTube, and you need to come over to Islam. And she was trying to convert me, and I thought, how will we grow this kingdom of God if everybody we interact with are like us? She's building her kingdom. Stopping people in Costco, telling me what YouTube video to watch to join Islam. And I'm thinking, wow, God. Maybe that coworker, maybe that boss that annoys you, that irritates you, you may be the God, the only God that she will ever know and ever see. And maybe it's really hard. And you go, you know what? It's just too much for me. And that's okay too. That puzzle may be better fit with somebody else down the road. It's important that if we're going to go to the ends of the earth and make disciples of people that are different from us, if we're going to be with people that are damaged, people that are hurting, people that have been through some stuff, we got to allow some of that to get on us. Roll up our sleeves and go, you know what, this is going to be challenging, but maybe this is what God is calling me to with this specific person at this moment. It's impossible to reach anyone that we are unwilling to be in proximity with. Impossible. And our ability to move toward the difficult, the damaged, and those that are different determines our capacity to reach people for Christ. That Jesus gave us the blueprint of how to engage. Ask questions. What are you doing? What are you like? What do you want? What do you need? Ask yourself questions. Recalibrate your internal world, that as you engage and as you deal with people, as you deal in circumstances, you know what's going on with you. This is reminding me of my own stuff. And that you own that, that you are aware of that. You recognize your limitations and your boundaries and go, you know what, I can't do this assignment this way anymore. I have to be open to the Spirit of God providing someone else to come along and be gentle with this person. Maybe this is not for me. That in all you're doing and all you're applying, you might miss it. Might fly off the handle, might make a mistake, might not govern and shepherd somebody like you needed to, and that's okay too. Trust that the Spirit's work will continue whether you're involved or not. And then lastly, remember that the only way this kingdom moves forward is by people. That we are carriers, we're extensions of God's hand. And if we're unwilling to take it to the people who need it most, how well will we feel heaven? So God, we thank you. And we